This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
And I believe that's the crowning glory of the Broadway musical, The Book of Mormon. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, sending happy September greetings to everyone. And that recording is the original cast member from Book of Mormon, Andrew Rennell, very talented. He's been getting a lot of airtime this past week in conjunction with the National Republican Party Convention in Tampa, which, of course, for the first time, crowned a Mormon as their presidential candidate.
And I don't believe. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is, the summer's over now, this is the September 1st, 2012 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. This show is produced in Madison, Wisconsin, and we also are broadcasting in Columbia, Missouri, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Monterey, and we're welcoming listeners in Ithaca, Odessa, and Watkins Glen, New York.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we're a state church watchdog in the nation's largest association of freethinkers.
Freethinkers are atheists and agnostics. On the second half of today's show, we'll talk with Michael Nugent. He's a writer from Dublin, Ireland, and he's the chair of Atheist Ireland. He's worked with us at the Freedom From Religion Foundation recently on an interesting legal issue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And we'll also talk about atheism in Ireland and globally.
And although we have a lot of news reports, speaking of global, the Global Index of Religion and Atheism just came out. It was released by Wynn Gallup International, and it rated Ireland as one of the least religious countries. And generally speaking, 23% of the world's citizens view themselves as not religious, according to this survey. And 13% identify actively as atheists. Now, that excludes the agnostics and all that. And we have seen the second greatest drop globally in those claiming to be religious since 2005. And Ireland is among those with a dropping population of religious people, 10% fewer religious people today than in 2005.
This Religion and Atheism Index asked the same question in 57 different countries, found that religiosity is higher among the poor countries, and that religiosity declines as prosperity increases. The top 10 atheist populations are found in China, 47%, Japan, 31%.
This is convinced atheists.
Czech Republic, 30%, France, 29%, South Korea, 15%, Germany, 15%, Netherlands, 14%, Austria, 10%, Iceland, 10%, Australia, and Ireland, 10%.
And again, that does not include the unaffiliated, the non-affiliated, the agnostics, the skeptics, just people who call themselves convinced atheists. So we're seeing a much larger free thought population than that. And we'll be talking more about all of that and what's going on in Ireland with Michael Nugent on the second half of Free Thought Radio.
And before that, though, news to report about our billboards up in Tampa and Charlotte.
Down in Tampa and up in Charlotte. Yeah, there's a we had a God Fixation Won't Fix This Nation billboard up for the National Republican Party Convention. That's the design by Steve Benson, who is the grandson of Ezra Taft Benson, who served as Secretary of Agriculture for Ike, and then became president of the Mormon Church. That's just a coincidence. Yeah. And then we put the same image up in two places, are up right now, in Charlotte to greet the Democratic National Convention. And we want both parties to keep religion out of politics. We are dismayed that both parties have sort of been, blackmailed or whatever into inviting, they've been pressured by Dolan, the head of the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, to invite him to end their festivities with an invocation from the Catholic Church. And that's unfortunate.
God's fixation won't fix any nation. We had some good news this last week. The Freedom From Religion Foundation had a nice legal development. We cleared a hurdle in our parish exemption case. U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb from the Western District of Wisconsin issued a strong 20-page opinion and order permitting me and Annie Laurie and President Emerita of FFRF, Ann Gaylor, to pursue our challenge of the 1954 law, which gives preferential tax benefits to ministers of the gospel.
And we've talked about this on the show before. We started this lawsuit in California. We had to withdraw it after a Supreme Court ruling about taxpayer standing. And because all of the directors, paid directors, are paid through a housing allowance, but we cannot claim it like the ministers, we do have injury, and we have standing to pursue our lawsuit here in Madison, Wisconsin, in federal court. And just a reminder that this is something that allows ministers to be paid, who are paid with part of a housing allowance, to deduct that housing allowance.
To exclude it.
To exclude that housing allowance from their taxable income. Not even just deduct, but to totally exclude. And so it's everything to do with the expenses of their house, mortgage, improvements, new roofs, swimming pools, you name it.
I used to do that when I was a minister.
That's
I used
right.
to exclude my rent from reporting to the IRS.
And that was even mentioned in Judge Crabb's ruling. Barbara Crabb's ruling pointed out that when you are an ordained minister and when you were acting as a minister, you did take that exemption. And now as the head of a national atheist agnostic free thought group, you are denied that privilege.
So that gives
even
us,
though you had an ordination.
That gives us the standing because we're not just complaining that we don't like what the government's doing. We can say we have been directly affected by this law. We're discriminated
against.
And
we are. And this is a very preferential treatment of ministers. And it was a law that dated to a member of Congress who said that we are being threatened by a godless and anti-religious world movement. There's no secular purpose behind this preferential law.
So that hurdle is crossed. Now we'll get to the merits of
now,
it.
And then, Dan, you were in Memphis recently, and tell us about that.
Last week I went to Memphis to speak for the Memphis Freethought Alliance and to announce, and there were TV cameras and newspaper reporters there, to announce in Memphis at the library there that the Freedom From Religion Foundation is suing, we're planning to sue, definitely, the city of Memphis over their prayers at city council meetings. And I got a lot of applause. A lot of people came forward and said, how can I help? Some attorneys came forward. A bunch of local residents said, can I be a plaintiff in this lawsuit? So we're collecting names right now, and we have an attorney ready to go to file. And we are going to sue.
And here's some of that coverage, ABC 30, Memphis TV.
Our other top story tonight, Memphis being sued for praying prior to each city council meeting. A national atheist group from Wisconsin traveled to Memphis to make that official announcement today. The group says Memphis has been violating the Constitution for decades, and it's going to stop now.
Jeff, the Freedom From Religion Foundation says Memphis is the worst city in the country when it comes to keeping church and state separate. In fact, the group says the city embraces it.
So we decided we're going to sue Memphis.
A packed room, everyone relieved a lawsuit is finally happening after years of allowing prayer before every city council meeting.
Let us pray. Almighty God and gracious God, we have come again to another meeting of the council.
I think it's appropriate. Again, it protects our constitutional rights.
Dennis Cupp was born and raised in Memphis. He's also a former Christian. He says it's hard to be an atheist in the Bible Belt, but is happy someone is finally standing up to keep religion out of city government.
It may not be the more popular thing to do because of the religious climate in the community, but popularity doesn't always necessarily mean rights. You know, the Constitution protects us from the religion encroaching. I mean, that's why a lot of people left the mother country to come over here.
City Council allows prayer because they were told it's constitutional.
Supreme Court in Marshfield Chambers said because of the long history and tradition of it,
prayer at legislative sessions was not going to be considered to be a violation of separation of church and state.
The co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation says if tradition is their defense, the city doesn't have a fighting chance.
Tradition is not an argument for a violation of state church separation. You could make the same argument about the segregation of schools. That was a long tradition in an area, but that doesn't trump the First Amendment. It doesn't trump the Constitution.
City Council is not worried about it.
Memphis, we have so many problems. We've got blight and poverty and a declining population. That's where we focus as a council, on those important issues.
While some may believe praying before City Council is not a big deal, others believe it's their right to speak out.
Keeping state and church separate is something worth fighting for.
Religion group is in the process of asking Memphians to testify against the city. Jackie Orozco, CW 30 News.
So that will keep you updated on that. And then let's go out of this segment with the way we started. A little, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Who are you?
I'm Dan Barker, and still am.
Let's go out with a little bit more of Andrew Rennell's solo, Believe. I Believe.
I Believe. Will reveal it, and you'll know it's all true. You'll just feel it. You'll be a Mormon, by gosh, a Mormon. Just believe.
Just believe.
A Mormon.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
This is the second Northern War of Aggression.
No, it's not a second Northern War of Aggression. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And who was that, Dan?
That's Brian Fisher. He's the host of a TV show produced by this euphemistically named Christian group called the American Family Association. Listen to what he actually said about the Freedom From Religion Foundation after he complained about us attacking southern states.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation, originally they left the South alone. And then they realized when they tried it that these people in the South are total pansies. They are pushovers. Let's head to the South and let's take them out. This is the second Northern War of Aggression, and they're winning that thing right now.
Well, how many different ways could he be offensive there? Now, we have often taken complaints and we've taken lawsuits, and we've won a lawsuit in Tennessee in 2004. We've been around for 30 some years.
And in the North as well.
In the North and South, we are equal opportunity. We are there to help public school students who are encountering religion in the schools, which is primarily the case in the complaints we've taken in Tennessee, which is what encouraged Brian Fisher to talk about us on the radio. And we have taken many, many complaints about religion in the schools in Tennessee over illegal prayer. Starting in November 2010, our senior staff attorney, Rebecca Market, almost spent the entire month of November in Tennessee. And ever since then, there have been a lot of recurrences of problems, and we've had to stop violations in the schools in Mississippi, Tennessee, Louisiana. And then we've taken a complaint about a religious coach in nearby Rossville, Georgia.
It's right across the border, right on the border of Tennessee, actually.
And among the things that we have taken complaints about is that he's taking the students to various churches before the football games where they feed them and pray at them. And so there's some coverage. It's not particularly friendly coverage, but let's start with WRCB-TV.
Coach Mark Mariakas took to the lectern yesterday, thanking the community for support and trying to get back to football. Last week, the Freedom From Religion Foundation named the coach in a letter sent to Walker County Schools, accusing him of violating several First Amendment rights. As Greg Glover tells us, he and the administration answered.
The minds and hearts of the Ridgeland community have been tested over the past week. Faith and its place have been questioned.
As we say here in our football program, we have one mind, one heart,
and one team.
On Wednesday, the coach in the Freedom From Religion Foundation's crosshairs answered his critics and thanked his supporters.
We will continue to foster positive relationships with our players and as we strive for excellence on the field of play. The Walker County Board of Education feels that we are in compliance with all federal and state laws and will continue to monitor and scrutinize areas that are considered questionable.
Practice followed the press conference and included a traditional prayer led by senior linebacker Daniel Johnson.
Anything that's student-led, that is completely up to that student, as well as that student who does not want to be there or attend, they have that choice and that right to walk away.
As for the meals, the superintendent said they'll continue to follow the practice, but if we have to change certain practices, we will.
Now, FFRF staff attorney Andrew Seidel had sent an August 21st letter to Walker County Schools in Georgia asking for an investigation. And our complainant said that he was shuttling the players to different churches for these pre-game meals. And at these events, the church's preacher sermonizes at the players about the Christian religion, and that Mariakis, who's the coach, has stated publicly that the program opens the door for some of the kids as a way of also meeting the needs of the churches. The ministers bless the food, and they present the gospel of Jesus Christ to public school football players. And so then this is Fox out of Atlanta, went to a number of the ministers that are doing this for their comments.
Well, a North Georgia high school is under attack tonight from a Wisconsin group. The issue? Well, the group says the school's head football coach has violated the Constitution by taking his team to dinner at local churches.
It's been a tradition for Ridgeland High's football team to eat meals at local churches before taking the field on Friday nights. Now, a self-professed anti-religion group is demanding the practice stop, and it wants an investigation of the head football coach for what it calls egregious violations of the Constitution. At one of the local churches, the minister says that group, Freedom From Religion Foundation out of Wisconsin, has it all wrong.
It's an active community. That's what we're about. We are a body of faith, but it's an active community, and the body of faith just happens to be participating in it.
There is naturally support for Coach Mark Mariakis here in North Georgia. Ridgeland High School is at the heart, the center of several rural Walker County communities.
I have been called to do good deeds for others, and if we didn't do that, the church would be out of business.
We made a Facebook page 12 hours ago, and it has 3,000 people supporting the coach and letting him know that we have his back. He's not alone in this. There are other people who care about what he's doing and support what he's doing.
I just don't like people pushing around us small town folks.
We're not proselytizing. We have no interest in trying to bring these young men and make them members of our church. But we are showing them God's grace through the way we act.
One of the churches says they're willing to bring the food into the players if that makes this group feel better. But they say they won't stop giving thanks before the meal.
So this is not the second Northern War of Aggression. We are a United States of America, all living under a secular and godless constitution in which we need to protect the rights, the personal rights of conscience of all citizens, especially a captive audience of public school students. But I thought it reminded me of the Chad Mitchell Trio's rendition of Rally Round the Flag.
Oh, we'll rally round the flag, yes, we'll rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. Yes, we'll rally round the flag, and we'll rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom. A union forever. Hurrah, boys, hurrah, the Union forever. And up with our star, and we'll rally round the flag. Yes, we'll rally once again, shouting the battle cry of freedom.
Chad Mitchell Trio, very pretty.
Some of those southern cities and states think that since we are from the north that we are attacking their part of the country, when actually it is they who are violating the Constitution and they are attacking the freedom of the students that are within that school.
And we are acting to help complainants in their community who usually are afraid to come forward and identify themselves because of the way they would be attacked. So now we have a very interesting interview coming up. I'm really pleased that Michael Nugent is calling in from Ireland, from Dublin, and we'll talk about the growing atheist movement, the strength of free thought in Ireland, and also how he got involved in helping FFRF complain about a civil rights violation by Irish Fest in Milwaukee.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laura Gaylor. Who are we listening to?
This is Robbie Foulkes, who we played a couple weeks ago. So,
Who is he?
He's a country western singer who wrote a song called God Isn't Real. But now let's go to the south of another country after we come back from the break in Dublin, Ireland.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-directors of the nonprofit, Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we hope not someday, but today you will join us.
We have on the phone with us, all the way from Ireland, Michael Nugent. Michael Nugent is the chair of Atheist Ireland. That's an advocacy group in that country. As we heard earlier, Ireland is growing in non-belief. Not all leprechauns are Catholics. Michael is a writer from Dublin who's working on a book about atheism. He's written I, Keanu, which is a comedy musical play. He's also written Absurdly Yours, The Michael Nugent Letters, That's Ireland, and many other things. He and the group Atheist Ireland also hosted last year the World Atheist Convention in Dublin, and Annie Laurie and I were very pleased to be able to be a part of that and meeting Michael Nugent there.
Well, thank you so much, Michael, for joining Free Thought Radio.
Great to talk to both of you again.
Now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation had a victory that you wouldn't think would have anything to do with speaking to someone in Ireland, but we stopped an illegal church bulletin discount that Irish Fest in Milwaukee was giving to those attending a Catholic mass and turning in a food donation. And you got involved in it, Michael. You read the press release. And so why are Irish atheists helping to feed hungry people in Milwaukee?
Well, firstly, we were very pleased to hear of your success in ending the discrimination against non-Catholics attending the Irish Fest there, because it doesn't represent modern Ireland to give preferential treatment to Roman Catholics, independently of the legal issue that you raised about equal civil rights and so on. Modern Ireland is not the Roman Catholic country that it used to be, and the activities of Atheist Ireland are, I hope, a small part of helping to nudge that along. Now, independently of that, Atheist Ireland has a kind of charitable wing that we call it the God's group, where...
You call it the what?
We call it a good without God group, and we put God's plural to indicate that it's not just the Roman Catholic or Christian gods that we are without. But we have things going at the moment where, for example, we channel loans to Kiva, which is an organization that helps people starting businesses in the developing world by giving them loans that are then repaid, and you can re-channel it back into loans for other businesses there and so on. And what we just thought that a nice thing that we could do as a gesture, both in terms of your own victory there and also because it's a good thing to do, is to send a small donation over to the Hunger Fest.
Yes, well, what you did is Atheist Ireland, or you, donated $100 via the Freedom From Religion Foundation to then pass on to the Hunger Task Force, which was benefiting from this food distribution at Irish Fest. And you wrote an official letter to the Irish Fest officials as well.
We did, yeah. We thanked them for ending the discrimination in their admission charges and for just reflecting the reality that that Irish identity is broader than just a Roman Catholic identity. And we reminded them that there's a recent poll it's a global poll of religion and atheism that's done by Gallup International every 5 or 6 years. And the current Irish figures in that poll is that only 47% of Irish people identify themselves as being religious. 43% say they're non-religious. And 10%, which is quite high, say they're convinced atheists. So they're the most current, objectively, independently verified figures of the opinions of Irish people on religion.
That's a huge change from the way it used to be. Ireland is no longer exporting priests to the world. You're
kicking them out.
Irish atheists are feeding the hungry all over the world.
So, yeah, and ironically enough, the Catholic Church is importing priests to Ireland because there's a shortage of Irish priests or Irish trainee priests trying to become priests. So they're having to bring people from other countries into Ireland to fulfil the duties of the various parishes around Ireland.
From Poland?
From Poland, from Africa, from various places. I mean, it's very much reversed. The difficulty with Ireland is that the political system is very slow to catch up with change. And so while the society has moved on and the society is much more pluralistic, and it's also helped by the fact that there's been an end to the sectarianism and terrorism in Northern Ireland that went on for so many decades. The society has moved on, but the laws are still stuck in the past. We still have a constitution that starts by saying that all power comes from the Holy Trinity, that has the president and judges having to swear a religious oath in order to take office. There's a clause in our constitution that says that the state recognises not just that individuals have the right to worship a god, but recognises the right of the gods to be worshipped by the people, which is an extraordinary clause to have in the constitution.
Wow.
And then we still have you know, Roman Catholic primary education dominating the education system, and we still have an absurd blasphemy law on our books and things like that. So we have a lot of things that we need to do to enable the constitution and the laws and the general administration of the country to catch up with the reality that Ireland is a much more pluralist country.
Now, Michael, am I correct in assuming that the disgraceful and scandalous pedophile scandals and other scandals of the Catholic Church in Ireland, you know, the way the Magdalene sisters, all of that, is this why so many eyes have been opened by Irish people?
I think it's certainly a contributory factor, but I wouldn't say that it's the only factor. And it's not even so much the child rapes and crimes like that. It's the cover-ups that has hit the most. It's the fact that they don't yet get that it's the fact that the church institutionally was covering up these issues and was moving criminals from place to place and enabling them to continue committing these crimes is their real problem. And until they learn that, I don't think that they will recover any moral authority in Ireland. I mean, they're still trying to do so. They're starting now to say that they're going to publicly lobby the government against bringing in laws allowing abortion in cases where the life of the woman is at risk, which is an extraordinary position to take. So they're trying to fight back a little bit. But I think you're right. I think they have lost the moral authority that they used to have. And then independently of that, the idea of just believing in gods as an intellectual exercise is becoming harder and harder anyway, regardless of what country you're in, as science, you know, pushes back more and more of the claims that gods are responsible for this, that, and the other.
Now, when the Freedom From Religion Foundation has run a series of full-page ads, It's Time to Quit the Catholic Church, mostly about the Catholic bishops' interference with the contraceptive mandate here in this country, but, you know, referencing, you know, the pedophile scandals and so on. And when we ran a full-page ad in the USA Today, the first person to join up from that and send this very nice note was somebody identifying herself as from Ireland. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not sure that Catholics in this country are anywhere near where the former Catholics are in Ireland. They are putting up with so much and they're not rebelling. Why is that?
Well, I think what's happening in Ireland is, rather than rebelling overtly against the Catholic Church, I think a lot of people are just ignoring the Catholic Church. They're just not seeing it as relevant to their day-to-day lives. And it's an issue that we kind of have, even with Atheist Ireland, in terms of trying to get people to recognise the need to campaign to change the laws, is that the younger generations today particularly tend to just get on with their lives and ignore the fact that the Catholic Church is making whatever claims that it's making. That's just not being relevant to them.
I remember I was in Dublin 2 or 3 years ago to do a debate at University College, which is just south of town there. And afterwards, I went out to a pub with some of the students, and they said exactly that. They said, "We are not our parents' generation. Our generation, and our parents were not our grandparents' generation," they said, "but we desperately want to catch up with the rest of Europe. We're embarrassed. We want to be more secular. And it looks like the corner is starting to turn on that continent, on that country."
It is, but it's still important, Dan, to get people politically involved, because until such time as you change the laws and until such time as you change the way the education system is run and so on, you'll still have future generations being indoctrinated with Roman Catholicism before they reach the age of reason, because the Catholic Church still runs 90% of the primary schools, as an example. So whereas it can be easy for people to move on themselves and just live their own lives independently of Catholic Church influence, in order to keep things moving, it's important to have political advocacy as well, I think.
So, well, it still is amazing to see this change in Ireland, way ahead of the United States. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
And we are talking with the head of Atheist Ireland, Michael Nugent. And Michael, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your story and hear more about your views.
Yeah, great.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are talking with Michael Nugent, who is chair of Ireland, Atheist Ireland, and he's a writer, and he's a writer in a great city to be a writer from, Dublin, calling us from Ireland. And Michael, we've been talking about the huge sea change there in Ireland with so many people giving up religion. What's your story?
Well, I kind of trace my atheism, although I wouldn't have called it atheism in those terms then, back to when I was a child. I remember when I was in primary school, we were given a project to do over the Easter holidays of reading the Gospels and rewriting them in our own words. And I spent ages doing that, you know, rewriting the stories and drawing pictures. And I remember halfway through that realizing that, you know, that these things never happened and that this was just really a sort of a comic book story. And so from then on, I didn't believe in gods, although I wouldn't have been particularly, concerned about it. I would just consider it to be around. And I probably would have considered myself an agnostic in the sense of thinking that okay, I don't know that whether there is or is not a god. And then two things changed me from being an agnostic, or describing myself, I suppose, as an agnostic rather than atheist. One was realizing that you don't have to be certain that there's no god in order to take a rational position, that it's more consistent with the available evidence to say that there's no God. So it's strictly speaking, like, we can't be certain about anything, you know, but if we apply the same standards of reason to whether there's a God as we do to everything else, you realize that you can be an atheist. And the second thing
is leprechauns, right? There might be leprechauns hiding under a rock somewhere.
There's more likely to be leprechauns than a God. And that leprechauns, they kind of, at least leprechauns don't claim to be, or people who believe in leprechauns don't claim that they created the universe.
And that they'll send you to hell forever if you don't agree with them.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of where it came from. And then my atheist activism would have been from, I've always been interested politically in sort of big issues. Like, I was involved in campaigning against the terrorism by the IRA and loyalist paramilitaries in Northern Ireland. In that it was the only issue on the island at the time where people were getting murdered, and I didn't really care one way or another what flag was flying over Northern Ireland, whether it was the tricolour of the Republic of Ireland or the United Kingdom Union Jack. I think what's important is that a society is run democratically and peacefully with people giving freely giving allegiance to whatever institutions that say exist, and that they're not murdering each other over their beliefs. And then when that issue has, well, I won't say it's been resolved, but I mean it's a lot better off than it used to be after the Belfast Agreement of a few decades back. We're now reaching a stage where Ireland can afford to move on to other big issues, one of which for me is the overbearing influence that religion and Catholicism in particular has had on Ireland in the past and continues to have on our laws.
So you can't commit blasphemy, at least legally, in Ireland, is that right?
Yeah, embarrassingly enough, Ireland passed a law 2 years ago saying that you can get fined €25,000 if you say or publish anything that is or abuse in relation to matters held sacred by any religion.
Any religion.
But interestingly enough, not atheism. You can say whatever you like about atheists or atheism. It's only religions that are protected. So we have been campaigning to have that law changed removed, and the government has been arguing that it is that the Irish Constitution, which is written back in the 1930s, has a provision saying that there has to be a blasphemy law. So we're trying to campaign to have a constitutional referendum to remove the blasphemy law from the Constitution. And there is now in Ireland a sort of an overall review of the Constitution coming up that we are seeking input into, and that we're hopeful that will result in a referendum to remove the blasphemy clause. And it's very important because it's not just in Ireland that the Irish blasphemy law has been supporting Islamic states who are trying to make blasphemy and defamation of religion a crime internationally. They're able to point to here's a Western democracy that's just passed the blasphemy law, so there's nothing unusual about it. So it's important to get rid of it, not just from an Irish perspective, mm-hmm. but also from an international one.
Now, we heard your presentation in Cologne, Germany in May. Dan and I were there, and you were there at that was the World Conference for this year in Germany.
Yeah.
And since that time, we were watching what was going on with Alexander An in Indonesia. And after that conference, of course, he was found guilty, and now he's, 30 months of imprisonment for saying what's...
Well, he wrote on Facebook that God doesn't exist, and he was debating the issue with some Muslims online and was referring to the history of Muhammad's life and so on. Some Muslims in his town, he's a civil servant in Indonesia, Muslims came to his office and threatened him and assaulted him, insisted on getting his password to look at his Facebook page. He was then arrested and charged with blasphemy and as you say, is now imprisoned for 2.5 years. So there's an international campaign to support Alex and to try to get him released, coordinated by various groups, including Atheist Alliance International, and the Centre for Inquiry and Atheist Ireland and various other organisations around the world.
Well, and I should tell you that we're trying to put up billboards with God doesn't exist, the language he used on Facebook. And so far, I can't get any billboard companies to let us do that in the United States, which is a de facto blasphemy law. I'm still working on it.
Censorship,
In solidarity with him and in solidarity with all of the persecutions that are going on around the world in the name of blasphemy. And a little girl in Pakistan, charged with blasphemy because somebody thinks she might have burned something with some Arabic on it, a Christian girl. I mean, it's getting a little scary.
Can I ask you, Michael, is Indonesia one of the countries that is citing the Irish blasphemy law as an example of a Western democracy, and so if Ireland does it, we can do it too?
Exactly, and in Indonesia it's even worse than that, in that there was a constitutional challenge to the blasphemy law there, to their blasphemy law, which was defeated, and one of the arguments that was used indirectly, not the central part of the case, but one of the arguments that was used was pointing to the Irish blasphemy law, but also Pakistan, where the case that you're talking about, Annie, is happening, has been officially citing the wording of the Irish blasphemy law of the United Nations. as what they want implemented internationally. And there's another case in Pakistan, a Christian woman called Asia Bibi, who is facing execution at the moment for an absurd blasphemy charge, where she was supposed to have drunk water from the same bowl as Muslim women were going to be drinking from, and she was told she was unclean, and she said something about Jesus being better than Muhammad, that we're all compassionate than Muhammad. So she ended up being charged with blasphemy. But that seems to centre around, that particular case seems to centre around a pre-existing personal grudge between her and some neighbours about something very peripheral, like a goat breaking a fence or something like that. So it's one of the things in these countries, there's very little due process, and blasphemy charges can be thrown around just to settle personal grudges. And it's so important that people campaign on these issues internationally. And it's not just atheists that are victims of it. Mm-hmm. It's also Christians like Asia Bibi in Pakistan, and indeed Muslims like Hamza Kashgari in Saudi Arabia. So it's a very, very big international issue.
And we usually put action alerts up at fff.org on these issues. And well, it's been a great pleasure, Michael Nugent, Chair of Atheist Ireland, to talk to you across the sea, and to know all this good news out of Ireland and the changing mentality and all you're doing to continue those changes.
And yeah, great talking to both of you, and hope to see you again in the near future.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We're speaking with Michael Nugent from Dublin, Ireland. We also want to thank, for producing and engineering this show, Dave McCann. You don't hear his voice, but he's back there working hard to make everything flow smoothly. And our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Free Thought Radio is recorded here in Madison, Wisconsin. You can check out all the details about our show at fffrf.org/radio.
And that music is a little nod to Ireland, Glacamora. That's Wynton Marsalis.
And it's written by two atheists, by the way, the music was.
And for more information, contact fffrf.org. Join us. It's very simple to go online and join. Call 1-800-335-4021. You can also ask for sample information. Join us next week for more Blasphemous Radio and Rational Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope so.